Deep Antic, Aho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda, Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Samakundara Kundigiri Govardhan Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, New Ramaniti Dham Ki, Tulsi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. So, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Tiroba Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Okay, so what's that? We're going to chant Namo Gaurakishoraya, Sakshad Vairagya, Murtaye, Vipralambara Sambodhe, Padambu Jayate Namaha. All right. I guess he can't find it. Okay. Namo Gaurakishoraya, Sakshad Vairagya, Murtaye, Vipralambara Sambodhe. There it is, if you can get it bigger, but. So that sloka, Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya, we're chanting that theoretically for the last 55 years. it's in the beginning of a Gita and beginning of a songbook, and it's part of the Mangala Charana. If you have good eyes, you can read it up there. offering obeisances to Gaurakishore, who is Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye. He is the guru of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And this means Sakshad Vairagya, directly the personification, Murti, of Vairagya, which we can read about. And then if you're not convinced after that, then you do something. Then it says, Vipralambara Sambodhe Padambu Jayate Namaha. Vipralamba means feeling separation. And he's feeling separation in the description is Rasambodhe, an ocean separation. Therefore, Padambu Jaya, offer respects to his lotus feet, Namaha. That's what it says. The ocean of the mellow of separation from Krishna. I have here, so I demarked, there's lots of stuff in there. Three books like this. Bhakti Vikasa Swami's book, he has a description of when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta met. We can read through that, and there's a disappearance pastime that's also in, I guess, this book, that book. So Srila Babaji Maharaj, this is when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada's guru, met Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji the first time. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, his father is Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he recommended Srila Bhakti Siddhanta get initiated by Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who didn't initiate people. Generally, he claimed that he had initiated one person who fell into Maya, therefore he has stopped initiating anybody. But many persons used to come and try to get his association, different types of people. In fact, this book is about 100 pages. The Rupa Vilas, he redid the book, or I don't have the new one, but there's plenty in this book. And he added more to it. I forgot if it's still called Babaji Maharaj. So Babaji Maharaj arrived there wearing a tiger skin cap. Now, I don't know if he usually wore a tiger skin cap. He was pretty renounced. But he was wearing a tiger skin cap and he carrying a basket containing puja paraphernalia, both of which had been given to him by the famed Bhagavan Das Babaji of Kalna. Siddhanta Saraswati became deeply struck hearing Babaji Maharaj recite a song articulating Raghunath Das Goswami's feelings for Radharani, Srimati Radharani. He wrote down those esoteric verses and ensouled, this is an interesting word, Bhakti Vikasa, I don't know, got this word, it's an interesting word. He ensouled, S-O-U-L-E-D, ensouled them as the essence of his own internal bhajan. Now, there's a footnote which says, which gives some of the words of Babaji Maharaj's song. The song beginning, Kotai Go, Prema Mayi Radhe, was later revealed by Srila Siddhanta Saraswati to Ananta Basudeva Prabhu and possibly a few others. It was sung only on Babaji Maharaj's Tirobhav Titi, means his disappearance, at his samadhi, where he was buried. So, Kotai Go Prema Mai, where are you, Radharani? This is the beginning of the song. It was full of prema, Radhe. So, we don't get the rest of the song right here. It might be available somewhere. It was only until after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's passing was it published by Ananta Vasudeva. It seems inconsistent with Saraswati Thakur's policy that this highly confidential text be widely distributed or recited. Okay, so it says here, yeah, we won't read it. We heard that Babaji Maharaj could hardly sign his name, yet, interestingly enough, he would offer verbal commentary during Srimad Bhagavatam discussions with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So somehow he knew Bhagavatam, but seemed like he couldn't write. But he knew Bhagavatam. And he also carried two books and recommended these books by Narottam Das to pray. Pavart, Pratana, Chaimachandra, Chandrika. So he had two books, he always had, so but he couldn't write his name. Go figure. We have to figure that out ourselves. So, okay, so we're on here. He's meeting Bhaktisiddhanta for the first time, theoretically. Okay. Is that a human or a parrot or a robot? Babaji Maharaj presented Srila Siddhanta Saraswati with the hat and the basket of paraphernalia, as well as four or five pieces of knotted string for counting japa, and a tilak stamp with the initials Ha and Kra, meaning Hare Krishna. Didn't have the whole word, just Ha and Kra. Although practically worthless materially, these gifts were spiritually invaluable, having been given by a Paramahansa. Although many reputed gurus were desirous to count Siddhanta Saraswati as their own, in other words, many gurus wanted to initiate Srila Bhaktisiddhanta because he was a famous genius devotee. But he detected their insincerity. He spurned their wooing and stood opposed to them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been his Shiksha guru from birth and had given him Harinam and mantras for worshiping Narasingha Dev and Kormadev. Yet, so that Siddhanta Saraswati could attain additional spiritual shelter, guidance, and inspiration for his future colossal service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent him to Gaurakishoredas Babaji for further initiation. Siddhanta Saraswati was decidedly aristocratic, intellectual, and of exemplary virtuous deportment, whereas by external consideration, Babaji Maharaj was illiterate, cranky, and crude. This is what Bhakti Vikas said. Indeed, he was reputed to vehemently refute persons who approached him for diksha. Get out of here. We'll read about some of that stuff. Even sometimes beating them with an umbrella. Predictably, he also declined to induct this would-be disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta, caring not a whit for his apparent good qualities, which shook Siddhanta Saraswati, accustomed as he was to being respected. Babaji Maharaj told him, quote, I once accepted a disciple, but he cheated me and went away. I will not make any further disciples. But Siddhanta Saraswati was not easily discouraged and again begged for mercy. Babaji Maharaj responded, I will ask Mahaprabhu. If he gives permission, your request will be granted. So don't try this at home. But When after a few days, Siddhanta Saraswati returned and inquired, "What was Mahaprabhu's order?" Babaji Maharaj replied, "I forgot to ask." It's so funny. And when Siddhanta Saraswati came for the third time, he was directly refused. "I asked," Babaji Maharaj said, "but I didn't receive the command of Mahaprabhu." Siddhanta Saraswati was devastated. He stood up and uttered, "Karuna nohoile kandiya kandiya prananarakiboha. Without your mercy, weeping and weeping, I will no longer sustain my life." Siddhanta Saraswati resolved that however many times he might be refused, no further would he rotate in the world without gaining Babaji Maharaj's grace. Seeing the young aspirant's genuine desire and commitment, Babaji Maharaj relented. He told Siddhanta Saraswati to bathe in the nearby Saraswati, a tributary of the Ganga, and then return, after which he accepted him as a disciple. This was in January 1900. Siddhanta Saraswati later reflected, "When, out of false ego, I was thinking, quote, 'I am a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pundit come at any time, day or night. I will cut his proposition to pieces.' Woo. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me, my truthfulness, my moral and pious life, my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be. Who could neglect so many, quote, good qualities, unquote, in me? What inconceivable wealth he possessed. Being neglected by him, I understood there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. That was my actual identity. The very things which I had judged desiderata, such as scholarship and upright character, this exalted soul regarded as valueless. I apprehended that within myself, this noble personality possessed, priceless treasure. I then pondered that either he is extremely puffed up or exceedingly merciful. I then haughtily said to my Gurudev, 'You are a worshiper of that cheater and debauch, Krishna, so why would you be compassionate to someone like me, dedicated to ordinary morality?' Humbly and sincerely, I prayed to the Supreme Lord for his mercy. Later, by his grace, I recognized that without receiving the blessings of this peerless saint and without serving him, nothing good could happen to me. When I accepted that, and acted accordingly, and then received the causeless, unlimited grace of my Gurudev and refuge at his lotus feet, I deemed my life fulfilled. I had considered my Gurudev to be unequaled in vairagya, sakshat vairagya murtaye, but somewhat short of learning. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be highest ideal was in fact most low and despicable. When by his grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. But to all fools like me, he gave a chance to hear such lofty topics. I have understood that if the people of this world do not receive the same jolt that I received from my Gurudev, then their consciousness will not awaken. Therefore, I am telling everyone, quote, 'I am more foolish than anyone else on earth. I am more foolish than anyone else on earth. Please, all of you, do not be foolish like me. Do not live your life without the limitation, within the limitation of calculating consciousness. Discuss Vaikuntha Katha and you will become a great person. I am telling you what I have realized to be supremely beneficial.'" Although Babaji Maharaj always strictly forbade anyone to touch his feet, once he voluntarily placed them on Siddhanta Saraswati's head and ordered him, quote, "Preach the absolute truth. Keep aside all other activities," thus confirming his disciples' life's mission. Again, there's another quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's like these quotes from Bhaktisiddhanta are so amazing that it's like mind-bogglingly Perfect. Referring to this incident in later years, Siddhanta Saraswati commented, on receiving a jerk of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev, for the span of 1 year, I lost all sense of this external cosmos. Woo. I do not know whether any transcendental agent equal to him has ever appeared in this plane. How may those who are preoccupied with worldly lust, anger, and so on ever know him? And more. I have been busy within this temporal sphere, trying to bring sense gratification within the grasp of my hand. I often thought that by obtaining the objects of sensual enjoyment, all my shortcomings would be fulfilled. Certainly, I attained various rarely achieved goals, but my own personal deficiencies were never mitigated. In this material world, I have had the association of very high-class, well-born people, but noting their multiple inadequacies, I could not offer them praise. Seeing me in such a lamentable condition, at such a time of adversity, the most merciful Chaitanya Gaurasundara gave permission to his two dearest devotees, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, to grant their blessings to me because I was always intoxicated with worldly false ego, wanting to be lauded again and again. I was depriving myself of my own true benefit. But due to the influence of pious activities enacted in previous births, I came in contact with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my spiritual well-wisher. My Prabhu, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, would often visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur and stay with him. Out of compassion for others, Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out my Prabhu, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, upon seeing whom the extent of my worldly false ego diminished. I knew that all living entities who have taken the human form of life were fallen and low-born, low like myself. But by gradually observing the spiritual fiber of my master, I realized that only a Vaishnav could reside on this mortal plane and be exemplary character. My Gurudev mercifully told me, reject your knowledge, purity, and aristocracy. Come close to me. Don't go anywhere else. Whatever you require, as many rooms, houses, palaces, mansions, as much scholarship, skills, self-control, renunciation, you will get. Simply come close to me. Let there be a house. Let there be entrance. Let there be learning. Do not be enamored by this type of thinking. Do not consider as necessities that which ordinary people accept as such. I was a fearsome debater, but with great kindness, my Gurudev kicked out my pride in debating. Even in unlimited millions of lifetimes, I will not be able to find the limit of his compassion, nor will anyone else be able to do so. Although I am unfit, he recognized me as his servant, thus fulfilling my cherished desire by which I may live forever. Well, I got to read one more paragraph. Anyone bored with this? Later on, when I met my preceptor, his deeds and actions gave me entire satisfaction as to mastering the subject I was so earnestly searching for. I became a practical man, associating myself with this great master of religious atmosphere from the day I actually met him. It was by providential dispensation I was able to fully understand the language and practical side of devotion after I met the practicing master and on my full submission unto him. No education could have prepared me for the good fortune of understanding my master's attitude. He is free and adept in all movements regarding the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Before I met him, my impression was that the writings of the devotional school could not be fully realized in a practical life in the world. My study of the master and then the study of the books, along with the explanations by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, gave me ample facility to advance towards true spiritual life. Before I met my master, I had not written anything about real religion. Up to that time, my idea of religion was confined to books and to a strict ethical life, but that sort of life was found imperfect unless I came in touch with the practical side of things. So, there, glories of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, spoken by someone who... obviously knows how to speak. Okay, so I marked off about so many things, but they're all, I mean, okay, so many pastimes here. Rube Velas describes where they come from, but so. All right, so it says, Gorkhasur Das Babaji appeared sometime in the 1830s in the district of Faridapur, adjacent to the place called Tepa Kola in the village of Bagyana in East Bengal or Bangladesh now. He appeared in that village, which is situated on the bank of the Padma River, as the son of a Baisha, most probably called Vamsi Das. But then some biographers say he was called Vamsi Das, not his father. Maybe they were both called Vamsi Das. We don't know. During his boyhood, his mother and father arranged a marriage for him. He remained in household affair for more than 20 years. While a householder, he worked as a broker in the grain business. But even at that time, he exhibited his spirituality. After the demise of his wife, Gorkhasur Das Babaji left his business. He went to Vrindavan. There he approached Bhagwat Das Babaji, one of the foremost disciples of Jagannath Das Babaji, and accepted from him the traditional Paramahansa Vaishnava Babaji dress. After this, he became completely renounced, and he sojourned under trees in various parts of Braj. He continuously acted thus for a period of approximately 30 years. During this time, he would sometimes travel to the holy places in northern western India, as well as to Gaur Mandala, the Navadvip. He associated with Swarup Das Babaji in Jagannath Puri, whose ecstatic activities were recounted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his autobiography. He also associated with Bhagawan Das Babaji in Khulna. He went to Kulia, the holy site of Jagannath Das Babaji's bhajan, and associated with Chaitanya Das Babaji. All of these Babajis were pure, exalted devotees. Gorkhasur Das Babaji became very famous among the great devotees of Vrindavan and was awarded the appropriate title of Bhajanandi. Even though he received such honor, he never endeavored for even a modicum of material sense gratification and totally disapproved of the secret material desires of pseudo-renunciates. He was entirely removed from such inclination and would perform his pure, unalloyed devotional pastimes alone in a profound devotional mood. In 1897, when he was in his 60s, when the yoga pit, birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was revealed by the exertion of Bhaktivinoda, Gorkhasur Prabhu proceeded to Navadvip from Vrindavan under the instruction of Jagannath Das Babaji. From this time until his disappearance, Gorkhasur Das Babaji, so his disappearance is in just after Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1915. He lived in different villages and realizing their non-difference from the holy place of Vrindavan. He begged by gathering dry food stuff from the householders. He would sometimes offer these foods to the personality of Godhead by the holding them in his hand. In order to cook, he would collect dry wood from paths. He would wash earthen pots discarded by villagers along the roadside. They would throw these out during eclipse. They were considered impure, but he just washed them and used them. He would get clothes on the shore of the Ganga and wash discarded cloth that had been used to cover corpses in the burning ghat. thus, he always remained, obviously, he didn't care about material stuff, as they say. Sometimes he would be seen going naked, as described, especially after he went blind, because he didn't know what's going on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed a place, you can still go there at Bhaktivinoda's house, Godrumdweep, a little teeny room, kind of small, I think. Okay, we get the idea how, and he would attend many of the, he would often come when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was speaking Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur often cited the behavior of Gorkhasur to elucidate the meaning of the word nirapeksha, indifference. Nirapeksha monim shantim, several verses in the 11th canto where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava using this nirapeksha, I mean, neglecting, had nothing to do with this material world. He often discussed the unequaled renunciation, pure devotion, and attachment to Krishna that the Babaji displayed. In the days of the Thakur's retirement, the two souls met and associated in great happiness. For some time, Babaji Maharaj stayed in Sarabi Kunj and performed Hari Bhajan. His room has been preserved. Okay, there we know that. His only possessions were tulsi beads he wore around his neck and the tulsi mala he kept in his hand for counting rounds. He also kept a few books, Narottam Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Sometimes he wore a torn cloth. Sometimes he went naked. At other times, he would utter harsh sounds of disgust for no apparent reason. Even though it appeared that Gorgeshwar was not a learned Sanskrit scholar, still the purport and conclusion of all scripture were luminous in his heart and character. It was never possible for anyone to serve him. He never was willing to accept any kind of service from anyone. Whoever witnessed his unearthly, genuine condition of renunciation was reminded of Raghunath Das Goswami. All kinds of divine powers and opulence were always waiting at his command, ready to serve him. Sometimes he would appear omniscient. He was always able to reveal the deceitful nature lying in the hearts of pretenders. Although a person resided outside the immediate purview, Gorgeshwar would elaborately, scrutinizingly reveal the person's cheating nature. He was in direct contact with Supersoul. This ability, however, is not his principal virtue. He exhibited the highest standard of devotion to the Supreme Lord Krishna because of his exemplary character. He was recognized as the personification of separation from Lord Sri Krishna. So when we look at this word, Vipralamba Rasambodhe, you can see explanation in, especially in Majja 23, and sort of in the beginning of the chapter, different types of Vipralamba. There's a quotation there given by Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, that Vipralamba bina Vipralambena Samboga Pushtim Ashnute. Basic idea of feeling the separation. Different separation is enunciated there, four types especially. There's one type of separation that's felt especially by the queens of Dwarka. If you read the 90th chapter of Bhagavatam, 10th canon, Kurari Vilapasi, is 10 verses there given. First one describes, of course, that's the most famous, but it's quoted. All 10 are not always quoted, but they're ecstatic. How these queens, this Prema Vaichitra separation is felt, especially when, even though Krishna may be there, but these queens are always feeling that he will leave soon somehow. They already miss him. There's so much anxiety. This is the so in that verse, this Korari bird is the osprey, which I'm not sure what it looks like. I'm not a biological expert, but I think they're mostly flying around the ocean. So these queens, seeing that those birds, they're saying, you must be feeling separation like us because we see that you're crying and staying up all night, sapati, jagati. Very wonderful verses there. Those 10 verses should be read. They're ecstatic verses. So this type of separation, then there's three other types of separation of Vipralamba. So somehow or other, Babaji Maharaj, when you think about it, you think, well, how could he be illiterate? He knows all these things. But so he's the personification, the ocean of this separation. Therefore, we respect him so much. But he felt strongly these things shouldn't be exhibited. Sometimes he compared the bogus exhibition of separation to be like someone, maybe a woman or maybe even a man nowadays, pretending to give birth and making all the noises of giving birth, which I haven't watched. Nowadays it seems to be a fashion to watch the wife give birth, but according to Vedic injunction, the man's not supposed to be there. But so apparently it can be very, very painful, and there's lots of noises. So it was kind of a humorous example if someone's imitating that, but they're not even pregnant, not having a baby. So this is what Gorgeshwar Das Babaji would compare it to, this idea that giving all these noises. He never displayed any distaste for the persons who were inimical to him. He never manifested any special affection for those very dear to him. Nirapeksham munim shantim. So there's a verse given also in 11th canto, almost twice really, by Krishna, speaking to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, that parasabhava karmani na prasankshan nagariyat. Parasabhava karmani means, para means anyone else, and sabhava means natural, any characteristic that they have. Parasabhava karmani na prasankshan nagariyat. No, one should not praise others for anything, and one should not blaspheme them. Just, it says, Vishvam ekatmakam pasyam. You should see the universe is going on. So this is, we get a glimpse when we instructions of Krishna, very heavy duty, to Uddhava. Finally, he told Uddhava that he should just wear bark, and also the final instruction. I mean, Uddhava is his greatest devotee, but though I need to just go up to the Bhadrik ashram and put on bark and give these last instructions to the sages up in the Himalayas, which he did finally, but he was feeling great separation. So this is all given in detail by Krishna in 11th canto. And interesting, the verse was used by Krishnas Kaviraj to describe Ramachandra Puri, because Ramachandra Puri absolutely never praised anyone, but he would only criticize people. He never praised anybody. And he even criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is just kind of a don't try that at home type thing, you know. He would feed people. He was on the level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, Ishwara Puri, and he was a godbrother. And he had been kind of kicked out from the association of his guru, Ishwara Puri, or rather, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body and crying for Krishna, and then Ramchandra Puri was saying, why are you crying? You know, you should not lament. He had no idea that he somehow got initiated by Madhavendra Puri. But Ishwara Puri was the opposite. He took care of his guru, Maharaj Madhavendra Puri, in his last days. So by becoming critical or not have no idea what his guru was teaching, he ultimately even criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to regularly feed the sannyasis in Puri and then say, look, now you've eaten too much. He would bring a big Mahaprasadam, and when they would eat something, he may not have eaten too much, but he would say, now I look at you, you're supposed to be a sannyasi, but you're eating so much. He did the same thing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he went one time to Mahaprabhu's place, and there were ants crawling. He said, oh, you must eat sweets. There's ants here. I mean, so actually, I did that painting, so I remember thinking, how can it be? You know, how did he do that? How would someone criticize or say that to Mahaprabhu? But he did. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that a sannyasi, someone totally like a paramahansa, is supposed to not Vishvam ekatmakam pashyan. He should see Vishvam, the whole universe is going on. Prakritya purushena cha. The interaction of the material energy with the living energy. That's all. Not say anything, not, because it's difficult to follow that. And obviously, this Ramchandra Puri didn't follow it. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's senior Vaishnav, on the level of his gurus, Paramananda, all the they said, you know, our godbrother, he's just a very bad critic. Why you don't listen to him, please? Because Mahaprabhu took it so seriously, showing the etiquette that one should respect guru. And he even cut down his eating like half, and because Ramchandra Puri said he ate too much. Can you imagine? He's the personality of Godhead. So these are some of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So onward with these pastimes of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Let's see what I got marked here. Once, a young devotee, very anxiously desiring to perform devotional service and reside in the holy dham of Navadvip, came and revealed his intentions to Babaji Maharaj. This young devotee had made arrangements to remain in the dham as a doctor, physician, to buy medicine by begging for the money and to thus treat the sick and infirm. He considered that in this way he would be performing his bhajan and also simultaneously performing a great welfare activity. To receive confirmation of his plans, he had come to consult Babaji Maharaj. When he arrived and presented his proposal, he quoted the following verses describing Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Charita Adi Lila, 10th chapter. Pati graha nahi kori na loi karo dan atma priti kori kori kotumba baran chikitsa karen jare hoya sadai deha roga baba rog duitara kshai. Murari Gupta never accepted charity from friends, nor did he accept money from anyone. He practiced as a physician and maintained his family with his earnings. As Murari treated his patients by his mercy, both their bodily and spiritual diseases subsided. So this tricky here is he's quoting Chaitanya Charita, this doctor, and he seems to know what he's talking about. We would probably be think, wow, that's great, but Babaji Maharaj had a different angle. Babaji Maharaj could understand the young man's inherent insincerity and the pretension of his wanting to live in the dham, and revealed the defects of his plan by saying, Murari Gupta is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's always a resident of the holy dham. He never expressed any intention to stay in the Lord's dham by unjustly supporting himself as to enjoy sense gratification. He never, at the expense of any temple, supported his family, nor was he ever interested in earning money to fill his stomach. So, you know, considering he's said to be illiterate, he seems to know pretty much everything. He neither accepted charity from his friends or anyone else. He was a reservoir of ecstatic love of Lord Gaura. By his mercy, one can achieve love for Gaura. Well, today's Chaitanya Charita class, so this is obviously not different from hearing Chaitanya Charita. We're hearing it right here. Without following the standard of his character, if Murari Gupta's behavior is imitated in a motivated way, then one will be forced to suffer the result of his misdeeds. You're suffering from the disease of material existence yourself. So how will you properly treat others? You should incessantly and earnestly pray for the mercy of Srila Murari Gupta. Then you will be able to understand what real benevolence is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that sincere intelligence is exhibited by chanting the holy name of Hari, giving up all pretension. Those who chant with material intention are considered unintelligent. You should renounce this sort of thinking and devote yourself seriously to the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, your, quote, bhakti will simply be lust and everything will be ruined. The desire to administer free medicine for the sake of personal prestige and the desire to reside in the dham have nothing in common. A person interested in fruit of work can never live in the dham. Hearing these instructions, the doctor asked, what should I do? Gaura Kishore Das Babaji replied, if you actually want the benefit of residing in the dham, you should first give up these ideas you're entertaining. Abandon this misconceived notion of benefiting materialistic persons by distributing free medical treatment. Those who are resolute in performing worship unto the Supreme Lord Hari will never discharge any unfavorable activity, and they will perform only activity favorable for bhakti. Beyond that, all activities will be the cause of deep conditioning. If you want to support yourself in the way you have planned, then you should leave the dham and return to your former residence. Do not reside within the supreme abode of the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, and earn your livelihood deceitfully. So, here's another little pastime. I better skip. We're getting late. I'll skip to, there's a disappearance pastime here. In the Bengali year 1322 at dawn, this is actually 1915, November 16th, Gaura Kishore Das Babaji entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord. That day at sunrise, Saraswati Thakur left Shri Mayapur for the Rani Dharmshala at Kulia, where Babaji Maharaj had been staying. The head priests at Navadvipa's various temples and ashrams began to argue among themselves about where Babaji Maharaj's spiritual body would be interred. A heated argument arose. I mean, this is all given probably even in the other book too, but this is a famous pastime. A heated argument arose. There was material motive behind the dispute, for the contending parties considered establishing Babaji's samadhi at their ashram or temple would put them in a position to earn handsomely, nice rupee, from the pilgrims who would flock to see the tomb of the Paramahansa. Saraswati Thakur opposed the illegitimate attempts, however. Apprehending a breach of peace, Navadvipa's inspector of police, who was at the time Jatindranath Singha, arrived there. After much controversy, the various hypocritical Vaishnavas stated their position. Saraswati Thakur is not a sannyasi. He has no right to prepare samadhi for a person in the renounced who has renounced his home. Hearing their pronouncement, Saraswati Thakur replied in a voice like thunder, saying, I am the sole disciple of Paramahansa Babaji Maharaj. Even though I have not accepted sannyas, I am a celibate brahmachari, and by the grace of Babaji, I am not a hypocritical renunciate, secretly addicted to abominable habits like fornication, as some monkey-like people are. I take pride in saying this as a bearer of Babaji Maharaj's shoes. If there is someone here who is a renunciate of truly stainless character, he can come forward and arrange for the samadhi. I have no objection to that. He who within the last 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, or even 3 days has not indulged in illicit association with women will be able to touch this spiritually blissful body. If anyone else touches it, he will be completely ruined. Hearing these words, the inspector of police said, how will the evidence of this be produced? Saraswati Thakur rejoined, I will believe what they say. After this challenge was offered, the Babaji's turned their backs one by one and departed from that place. The inspector of police was dumbfounded. Then some of the people remaining there advised that Babaji Maharaj had expressed his last desire his body would be dragged through the streets of Navadvipa in the dust of the Dham. To this, Saraswati Thakur replied, although we are fools, inexperienced, and offenders, we still will not be disinclined to understand the true meaning of this humility, of these humility-filled words, which have been spoken by my Gurudev to destroy the pride of worldly-minded people. Even Krishna Chanda will personally think himself successful if he carries my Gurudev on his head or shoulders. After the departure of Haridas Thakur, Gaur Sundar took the spiritual body of the Thakur on his lap and danced. What dignity he adorned it with. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Sriman Mahaprabhu, we shall also bear Babaji Maharaj's spiritually blissful body on our heads. On the following day, on the Uttan Ekadasi in the afternoon, according to the scripture ordinances, Saraswati Thakur laid the body of his guru to rest in a newly formed sand pit on the Ganga at Kulia. A low caste person of Lohagara from the district of Jaisor donated his property, a low caste person, and claimed to give up all rights to it. Yet after some time, he forgot his promise and utilized that land for various illicit material activity. Although he was criticized, he maintained his pride and committed offenses to the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. 16 years later, by the will of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his place of rest was eroded by the river Ganga and inundated. Saraswati Thakur organized a party of men and recovered the samadhi intact and brought it to the bank of Radhakund at Brajapatan, where he reestablished before a memorial to Sri Gunja Manjari. Nitya Gauranga Das Adhikari, a disciple of Saraswati Thakur, helped construct a beautiful samadhi temple on the site. We close our recounting of this transcendental deeds of Babaji Maharaj with the oft-recited prayer, Namo Gaur Kishoraya Saksha Bhairagyamurte Abhi Pralambara Sambhode Padambu Jayate Namah. Okay. Anything, comments, questions? Harinam up at the Jacksonville football game today. Leaving 11:30 from the parking lot. Jai, glories to Babaji Maharaj.